You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Thursday. It's just Thursday, but around here we like to consider it Friday Eve. So yeah, Friday Eve coming up on the weekend. Got a great show laid on for you, but before I go any further, I got to point out, producer in training, Big Rig, is running the board today. Man, how you feel over there, Big Rig? Activate that microphone and give me the thumbs up. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's a little intimidating. But
No, it's good. Butters is still sitting in studio, by the way.
Yeah, I'm still here.
You were watching over the shoulder, but so far he pushed all the right buttons in the first like 10 seconds of the show. So
yeah,
good.
Yeah, this is exciting. So it's fun. It's just learning the sequence of buttons. So it's like anything new.
There are a few. There's just a few.
Yeah.
Like so, several. Like
it's just learning the flow, really.
The flow. Mm-hmm. Well, so far you got it down.
We haven't activated the defensive weapon systems for Right Side Radio yet. I haven't showed them those yet.
We have launched no flares, no countermeasures. Nothing like that has gone out that should not have. And by the way, you were good enough to indoctrinate him to the official food of Right Side Radio.
Yes. I stopped by the little bakery down the street.
Oh, now.
Yeah.
Did you indeed get maple bacon donuts?
I did. And have you had their cinnamon rolls?
Brother, don't talk to me about it. I'm so hungry right now. This is not good.
We're going to have fun today.
All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you, by the way. The entire time, Big Rig's going to be running the board, and we'll just blessings upon you, my brother. And in the meantime, at 3 o'clock today, Brian Taylor, who is candidate for Chief Justice, is going to be coming on. There is nobody, in my opinion, better suited to have on this show, or for that matter, any show. They could call him nationally right now. He has been an advisor to two governors, the legal counsel for one of those governors, and, oh, by the way, a senior JAG officer in the Alabama National Guard. Nobody better suited, in my opinion, to talk about what's happening on the Texas border. And, oh, by the way, he got his law degree in Texas. So there's that. We'll talk about all of that and more at 3 o'clock with Brian Taylor, candidate for Chief Justice. And then at 3:30, you know the deal. It may be Friday Eve, but it's also Butters and Lee Day. So at 3:30 today, we got Butters and Lee from Huntsville calling in. I got questions for them. Oh, by the way, then they have questions for me. Butters and Lee coming up at 3:30. And then there's a triple dipper, so hit it, Big Rig.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is one of those days that potentially could wind up being a one dipper day. It has that potential. I say that because God bless Texas. That's number one on the triple dipper. God bless Texas. Y'all, the situation on Texas's border right now has been fluid all day long. It has been developing in a viral manner all day long. If you're on social media, even for 5 minutes, you've been seeing it. And so I'm just gonna go ahead and say that this one dipper alone may dominate the show today. Brace yourselves. But it's one of the biggest constitutional crises we've ever had in the United States on the question of state sovereignty. Stand by. Number one, triple dipper. God bless Texas. Number two, saved it from yesterday. Breaking things that work. It's amazing what the Biden administration is doing. I mean, just amazing. I mean, things that are working fine that don't really have any issues. And oh, by the way, they're truly not impacting the climate, but they're going to go ahead and break them just to make sure they work better and cost you more and aren't near as effective. Breaking things that work. We'll talk about that as number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, have you seen The Matrix? I think most of the world has seen The Matrix. Remember that one scene when Morpheus says, blue pill or red pill? How about the fact that Democrats right now appear to be taking the red pill? How about the fact that Democrats right now are beginning to say things and push for things and ask the Biden administration to please God do something, and you realize, man, they took the red pill. Well, we're going to talk about that as number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me move over here to my daily monologue, The Right Side Way, and I'll just go ahead and remind you guys, Southern Immediate Care is the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics with locations all over the place. I'm talking like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care is the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue. They are open 7 days a week. They will see all ages, and they are owned by a right side ruffian. There's that. All right, listen, I'm going to jump in here. The title of today's Right Side Way is actually called The 10th Amendment, A Wall Against Tyranny. So I'll be honest with you. I think the Founding Fathers knew their business. I think the Founding Fathers were actually operating on an inspired level as they passed the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Commonly referred to, by the way, as the Bill of Rights, those 10 amendments were drafted and passed within just a few years of the drafting of the Constitution itself. And for the most part, the Bill of Rights was also prepared by many of the same Founding Fathers who drafted the original document. I mean, not without some fuss, mind you. Apparently, the debate got pretty heated over some of them. But in the end, all 10 were adopted, duly passed, ratified by the colonies, and enshrined as actual rights. And I want to stress, y'all, these are rights. They are not permissions. They are not opportunities. They are not allowances. They're rights. It's the difference between the words may and shall, right? If I were to tell you, you may have a right to bear arms or you may have a right to free speech, well, that would not mean near as much as saying things like your right to bear arms shall not be infringed, or that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or abridging the freedom of speech. Rights are imperatives. They are deemed absolute in nature. They are defensible, and they are designed as barriers to tyranny and crime. Now, people talk often of the First, Second, and Fourth Amendments. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right to assemble, the right to bear arms, the right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure. But this week, y'all, this week, the governor of Texas is giving us a heaping helping of the 10th Amendment, the sovereign right of an individual state to preserve the interests of its own well-being. So yeah, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has taken a constitutional stand unlike what we've seen in living memory by telling the federal government that if it will not defend the Texas border, he will do so himself under the authority given to him by virtue of the 10th Amendment. So let me just quote the actual verbiage. The 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution states, quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So why was this important? Why did the founders spend so much time seceding from Great Britain, absolving themselves of a monarchical form of government, only to pass an amendment that seems to limit their newly found governmental powers by giving away part of that authority to other bodies of governance at the state level? It's a worthy question, and it comes down to the fact that we are a republic founded upon the concepts of federalism. Two words that are key to all of it, republic and federalism. A republic meaning that we are a public form of government, one in which the people have their say through elected representation. And federalism, meaning that it's designed not to be one central form of government which holds all the power and authority, but it must in fact be shared with the states. And that 10th Amendment, it's our wall against tyranny. When the American colonies declared their independence from the British Crown, they really declared their desire to live freely, to be able to have a say in their own day-to-day affairs. They had none of that in the pre-revolution colonial days. They all then lived and worked and had the privilege of doing so at the discretion of the king. A centralized government with no fetters or restraints is the base ingredient for tyranny, and the Founding Fathers, they knew that. When they built the framework for the three branches of government, the legislative, the executive, the judicial, it was all designed to provide for checks and balances. The ability of one branch of government to have some authorities that others didn't because they knew that without checks and balances, ultimate power would wind up vesting itself so deeply in one single branch of government that they would be right back where they started from. But they also saw a need to make sure that one detached form of federal government sitting in our nation's capital could not decree from afar that which did not make sense for all the outlying states. I mean, when all the power and decision-making authority is vested in one office up in D.C., potentially even just one person, the temptation to do all that comes to mind, that person's mind can prove to be alarmingly overwhelming, and the consequences can be horrific. So here's an example that I saw firsthand. When I got to Baghdad in early 2004, the war was still fresh. I've said many times since then that as we helped the Iraqi people get back on their feet, that we were dealing far less with issues that arose from the shock and awe campaign a few months prior to that. What we dealt with more than anything was decades of a single-party rule under Saddam Hussein and his Ba'ath Party loyalists. It was everywhere I looked. Baghdad had rolling blackouts, which made the 5 million inhabitants of that city very unhappy. For years, Saddam had failed to invest in the infrastructure plan, and he just simply diverted the power grid to Baghdad so his palace stayed lit. Rolling blackouts were a way of life before the war in places like Najaf and Mosul and others, but never in Baghdad. Traffic was an absolute nightmare. Epic traffic jams of screaming, honking, angry Iraqis, but Saddam used to pick who was allowed to have cars based on loyalty to the Ba'ath Party. As such, there were hardly any gas stations, nobody had a license, and by the time we got there, cars were flooding into Baghdad for the first time as drivers by the thousands every day got a car. There were whole cities where schools and sewage treatment and running water and all the usual essential services were just in complete disrepair because they were not Saddam's chosen places. I remember right there in Baghdad, just off the main highway and near the Baghdad University, there was a slum called the Sheikh Omar District. The majority of its thousands and thousands of jam-packed residents were Shia Muslims, but Saddam, he was Sunni, so the people in Sheikh Omar lived like a third-world country. Why am I telling you all this? Because the founding fathers of our great nation knew that if they left all the governance, all the lawmaking, all the appropriations, all the taxing authority, all the essential services, all judicial decisions, if they left all of it in the hands of one branch in a centralized government, that you and I would be living like something more like Saddam Hussein's Iraq than we are in these United States of America. So that's why every state has their own governance, has their own sovereign right to make determinations as to what constitutes good protections or health or well-being or legal standards by which their respective state shall abide. States also have a sovereign duty to protect and defend the interests of their citizens against encroachments by the federal government, and they do, and it's real. We cannot have an unrestrained majority that focuses all of its power into one place to the detriment of everybody else. So every time you hear that Alabama's legislature is passing laws that differ from the other states, or the attorney general is taking legal action against the federal government, or the governor of Texas is pushing back on federal inabilities to defend his borders, well, those stances, those are predicated upon the fact that we do have a 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that gives our governor, our state legislature, our attorney general all the right to do something because centralized government is dangerous. The founding fathers, they knew what they were doing. They had lived through it. They knew that devolving power outside the central government was key. A republic and federalism. Benjamin Franklin is quoted as having answered the question posed to him by a lady who stood outside the Colonial Convention when the decision was finally reached. She asked him, "Well, doctor, what have we got? A republic or a monarchy?" To which he quickly responded, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." That's right. A republic grounded in federalism and preserved in part by the 10th Amendment. So keep your eyes on Texas. This is a big, big moment right now. This is a defining moment. This is a constitutional issue unlike anything that we've seen in recent years. It's the 10th Amendment in action. And the 10th Amendment is a wall against tyranny. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, man, this show is going to talk about this quite a bit today. We're going to opine on it. We're going to look at what other people are saying on it. And I'm just telling you right now, keep your eyes on Texas, because what Texas is doing on its southern border, taking a stand and refusing to comply with federal directives, is an absolute indication that the 10th Amendment exists, and it exists for good reason. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.